Welcome to Chilling with Teddy G, an authentic black channel empowering the black community and capturing the modern day black reality through investigative journalism. I'm your host, Teddy G. Let me do a little housekeeping before we get started today. You know how we got to keep our dirty laundry clean with the Copyright Disclaimer Act of 1976. Under Title 17, Section 107, allowances is made for the fair use for the purpose such as criticism, comment, news reporting, teaching, scholarships, and research. Fair use is permitted by the copyright statute that may otherwise be infringed. Nonprofit, educational, or personal use tips the balance in the favor of fair use. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to cover a story that I've been wanting to do for a while because it has been going on for quite some time, but because of my surgery, you know, that I had on my mouth and I haven't been doing a lot of shows since I had this surgery. In fact, my advocate listeners, I know you know that I've just been back on over a little 3 weeks, maybe 4 weeks, starting to get back into my rhythm. I wanted to talk about these two black men who were tortured and raped and beaten by these six Mississippi officers who tried to cover up what they did to these two men. In fact, one of them, they even shot in the mouth, you know, where he almost lost his tongue, his jaws, his teeth, ladies and gentlemen. There was just so much damage to this guy's mouth, who actually had done nothing wrong, okay? They come into these guys' house with warrantless attentions of harming these guys simply because they thought that they were dating white women. We're going to get into this story, ladies and gentlemen. Now, these officers, or I should say cops, because they definitely are not officers, were, you know, they're affectionately named in the police department as the Goon Squad. And people out there on the streets and in the community, in the hood, they know them as the Death Squad. That's right. I know it sounds like some 1930s name for hoodlums and thugs and things like that. But no, ladies and gentlemen, in 2023, you have a police group out here that are affectionately called in their department as the Goon Squad. Known on the streets, ladies and gentlemen, as the Death Squad. That's right, you heard me say it. And the havoc that they have caused is beyond belief when you think about what year it is right now, 2023. And you've got cops out here who has a title like that, and they live up to it. Believe me. Every inch of the way, they live up to being these this Death Squad, especially in the native black community. Now, you got these Mississippi cops, six of them, who are terrorizing the black community. And this comes out of Jackson, Mississippi, which everybody know the hatred that Mzungu, Mississippi cops have for Native Black Americans, or any people of color for that matter. And I want y'all to keep in mind, even though to me this is nothing more than a catchphrase, that these so-called cops or officers, whatever, are sworn to protect and serve. Which, like I tell you, to me, that's nothing more than a catchphrase. Because we know that these Mzungu officers do everything but that when it comes to the black community. But look, let me tell you how these guys was huddled up on the back porch of the Mississippi home where Michael Corey Jenkins laid on the floor, right? Blood gushing from his mutilated tongue and his mouth that they had just put a pistol in and pulled the trigger. That's right, you heard me say that. As far as I'm concerned, they tried to kill this guy. The only thing about that, he just didn't die. You can't explain that no other way about how you going to stick your service revolver in someone's mouth and pull the trigger and try to say that you would not, you weren't trying to kill the guy. That's exactly what you would try to do, except God's divine intervention stepped in and made sure that this guy didn't die and was able to tell his story. Now, the Associated Press, they read wrote an article on this. I want to read some inserts from that. Plus, as you know, I use a lot of black media outlets to cover some of the stories where they have resources where I don't have, where they can get to places where I can't go. And you know, Dr. Rashad Ritchie from Indisputable, I use a lot from his channel. I use Amadeus Shakur, Vicki Dillard, Philip Scott, you know, a lot of these black media outlet stories I also use, because they cover a lot of the stories that I cover, and we're going to use some of them today, ladies and gentlemen, to give us updates on this story, especially Indisputable, who's been covering this story since the beginning. I think they have made 3 or 4 stories about this, you know, trying to keep you up to date on what's been happening. But yeah, ladies and gentlemen, according to the Associated Press, as Jenkins was in pain, you know, on the floor, these 6 white officers devised a scheme to cover up dozens of stunning acts of brutality that they have just carried out during the 90 minutes of terror against Jenkins and his second black man. Now, these officers, ladies and gentlemen, they did as much as trying to plant drugs and guns. They stole surveillance footage from the house. They tried to dispose of other evidence, and they had all agreed on a set of lies that would further upend these victims' lives. Now, mind you, that these guys were very careful to avoid these security cameras that was at the home. They burst in, like I told you before, without a warrant, okay? They bust into these guys' house warrantless, okay, to cause this chaos and this brutality to these two brothers, and thought that they was gonna get away with it. And let me tell you why, if y'all asking. Because in the South, especially in Mississippi, where no cop has ever been charged for brutalizing black people, Native American black people, or people of color, or anyone, ladies and gentlemen, who they felt that they just wanted to brutalize, okay? Whether you were Hispanic, whether you were Asian, whether you were white, or whatever, they just ran amok because, hey, they ain't never been criminalized for their activities. So they feel that they got what? Free reign, like they've had for years. But oh, let me tell you, a different story is happening today, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, you got to think about it. These guys started their physical and their sexual and their psychological abuse against these guys, Jenkins, who they had handcuffed, and his friend, Eddie Terrell Parker. right? And they're pouring milk on them and alcohol and chocolate syrup over their faces. You know, this is like water torture. You know how they used to put that towel over your face and you know, the military in every country that we know of do this water torture where they pour these gallons of water or turn these water hoses on you with these towels over you. I mean, you can't breathe. You're choking from the water. Okay, well, these guys was doing the same thing, except they were using stuff out of these guys' refrigerators. That's right. You heard me say it. They torturing and brutalizing these guys in these sadistic ways that is unimaginable in today's times. Now, listen at this. Now, they made these guys strip naked, right? And forced them to take showers together to conceal the mask, the evidence of what they have done to them, right? Now, I can't imagine, you know, just the fact that I'm naked in the shower with another man, along with the fact that the reason why I know they're doing it is to conceal what they just did to me. And you gotta think about this. Now, while all this is going on, you know, they're mocking these victims with racial slurs, you know, calling them the N-word and the monkeys and whatever and stuff like that. And they're soaking wet. And listen, what do they do? They shock them with their stun guns. Okay? Now, you're wet. Now, you already know what they do to you when you just, you know, getting shot by them on the street. But they got these guys naked and wet, and they're shooting them with their stun guns. It's a miracle that these guys survived at all. But anyway, not only did these guys get caught, but in a federal investigation, these guys were charged. And they have pled guilty to some charges. We're going to go to Indisputable with Dr. Rashad Ritchie, and we're going to get an update on this story, ladies and gentlemen, that he just brought out less than 5 hours ago.
A story that we have covered from day one. Black men harassed, kidnapped, tortured by members of law enforcement. Major updates to that story. We have those gentlemen on the program today, along with their attorney. I want to remind you of what happened.
So it's staying right here, knowing, you know, what happened right here. Justice is what it all, you know, what it all boiled down to. I'm just like them, you know, whether they in uniform or not.
For 6 months, Eddie Parker has been living in a house of horrors where he says he was brutally beaten by deputies sworn to protect the rural Mississippi community.
I crawled here to this spot, and they started beating me here and tasing me. As you can see, you know, blood spots and all, and my blood spots there.
On January 24th, Parker and his friend Michael Jenkins say that six white Rankin County deputies entered the home and tortured them for nearly 2 hours. A heavily redacted incident report says deputies were investigating, quote, reports of narcotic activity at the house. They said they saw a gun, though there was no proof either man had a weapon. In a federal civil rights lawsuit, the men alleged deputies entered without a warrant, handcuffed them, and subjected them to nearly 2 hours of torture and racist abuse. Jenkins was...
Now remember this, they have no warrant. And you're suffering this abuse for over 2 hours? Come on, people. Are you kidding? This is still happening in 2023, ladies and gentlemen. And I want y'all to hear that again, where these guys didn't have a warrant, ladies and gentlemen.
Man had a weapon in a federal civil rights lawsuit. The men alleged deputies entered without a warrant, handcuffed them, and subjected them to nearly 2 hours of torture and racist abuse. Jenkins was shot in the mouth during the incident. Mary Jenkins, Michael's mother, says her son will never be the same.
I prayed with him, and I guess my son said, if there's any life in you, Michael, if there's anything in you, please squeeze my hand, please let me know you're still in this body. And he did.
Jenkins' injuries make it difficult for him to speak.
God bless.
has anyone from the department ever reached out to you and apologized? Have they ever asked for anything at all?
No.
The two men are suing a half a dozen Rankin County sheriff's deputies. Three named and three only identified as John Doe's. Rankin County Sheriff Brian Bailey was also named in the suit. And he said earlier this month, deputies involved in the incident were no longer with the department, although he did not confirm the number of deputies or their names.
Now, I want y'all to understand that. Now, you guys are up on charges, okay? And you are not revealing the name of three of the six officers that was involved in this. How could you get away with this in today's time? You got a half a dozen officers, and we only got the names of three of them. But all of you guys are up on charges. And let me say this too. I've seen maybe a dozen or more of news articles on here. I have not seen one picture of none of these Mississippi officers, law enforcement race soldiers. Let's just tell it like it is. Because we know for a fact that if these had been Native Black American law enforcement officers, we would have saw their names and pictures. They would be plastered all over the place. How do you have a half a dozen law enforcement race soldiers and you don't have one picture of name one of these officers? Please explain that to me. Please make that make sense. Nah, you can't. Anyway, let's get back to the story.
Newest development, six officers, all six, have now pleaded guilty to 16 federal and state charges. The attorney, Mr. Malik Zink Shabazz, attorney at law, real leader, real advocate. We have been covering this since the start. Legal counsel for both Michael Jenkins and Eddie Harper. This was horrific. I want to remind you of that hospital picture we showed you initially. Michael C. Jenkins was in the hospital after he was shot in the mouth by one of the deputies. Jenkins was left for dead. Essentially, his deputies rendered no aid to help him whatsoever.
And please tell me again, I have to say this again, how is there no photo of none of these officers? You got a half a dozen officers who brutalized these men for nearly 2 hours, and they have been charged and have pleaded guilty. But yet you have no photos of these guys whatsoever. I need somebody to try to make that make sense to me. Because that means we know that you guys know who they are. That's social media. Or let me say that correctly. That's lamestream media. Because there's no way that you guys don't have photos of these guys so we can have a look at them so we can know who we're dealing with. And I'm going to tell you one reason why I believe that's be the case. Because you know what? These guys are going to go somewhere else. Probably in the state of Mississippi in some other city and get a job somewhere else outside Jackson. That's right. You heard me say it, and I ain't taking it back. They're going to go and get a law enforcement job somewhere else. And by their faces not being publicized on lamestream media means that they can continue their career of abuse and sabotage and brutality without being recognized. Because that's the only reason why I could possibly think about the reason why you don't have a photo of these law enforcement race soldiers, Mzungus, mind you, That's one of the reasons why they're not showing the photos, because I can guarantee you if they were a person of color, oh, that photo would be up there.
I remember the picture of Mr. Eddie Parker, Terrell's injuries. The crime scene of January 24th, 2023. Again, six officers entered the residence of Jenkins and Parker without a warrant, alleging they were there to carry out a late drug raid that resulted in both black men being beaten, sexually assaulted, waterboarded, assailed with racial slurs, and shot with tasers for roughly 90 minutes or more, all while handcuffed. Accusations of them dating white women.
That's what it was.
Hurled. Items found at the crime scene, a sexual device on the left.
That's what it was. These young brothers with their enormous tallywhackers, to try to see it nicely, dating these white women, and these Mississippi law enforcement race soldiers were insulted and angry about that. See, that's the reason why they broke in the apartment in the first place without no warrant. And they used the drug raid as a cover-up because they wanted to brutalize these guys because these Mzungu women liked them, wanted to be with them, was going to be with them, was with them. And these law enforcement race soldiers knew about it, and they wasn't going to have that in their jurisdiction.
Eggs on the right. The officers attempted to sexually assault the men with the sexual device, both men were forced to shower together. Eggs were also hurled at the two men. Clarity on the agencies. Some outlets reported it was five Rankin County deputies and one Richland Police Department officer, while language in the lawsuit does not suggest all six officers involved were with the Sheriff's Department. Rankin County Sheriff Brian Bailey on the left, Deputy Hunter Elward Center, and Deputy Brett McAlpin Wright. According to eyewitnesses, the identity of the Rankin officers included Deputy McAlpin, Deputy Elward, and another deputy, Christian Denman. Not pictured. Back in late June, Sheriff Bailey said all five deputy sheriffs tied to the January 24th episode had been fired or resigned. Richland County Police Chief Nick McClendon, put him on, announced in the early part of July, former officer Joshua Hartfield was, and I quote, implicated in the January 24th incident and has since resigned from the department. Hartfield was reportedly off duty at the time of the incident. Now, there's a lot of information here. We want to make sure that, one, we have the absolute word from those who were victims and from the advocate attorney representing them. Thank you, gentlemen, for being on the program. Wish it was under better conditions, better circumstances, but here we are. How are you today?
We're doing fine. In this historic moment, first of all, we want to thank you, Dr. Ritchie, because you reported this case. You believed in this case. You stood up for the cause of police brutality when people doubted us. And now the hour of vindication has come upon the plea guilty of these six criminal white deputies that abused our clients and abused our black brothers. And so in this hour, I want to say that this is a good hour for us as black men in this hour, because we are standing up and we are getting some justice in this hour.
We appreciate that sentiment, but we simply did the right thing, attorney, just like you are. You're doing the right thing. Now, I want to ask a question to Eddie first, to give us, in his own words, what transpired that day. What was said? What's correct on the record? What's incorrect on the record?
Okay.
I can answer that for you. You guys is dating white women. This is out of your league in our jurisdiction. You can't be brutalizing. And what I mean by brutalizing is coming in with these big black male human parts, having sexual relations with our white women, and you're spoiling it for any other mzungu, because they can't come behind you and be able to give these women what they need, because we don't, we're not that huge, we're not that large, we're not that robust. Yeah, you heard me say it. I ain't taking it back. And we won't have that in our jurisdiction. Because if this continues to go on unchecked, we won't have one favorable Mzungu woman that we can date, that is going to ever be able to appreciate our manhood. Hello.
I gotta say one thing about this, Dr. Richie. There's a sentencing on August 14th in Rankin County for the state pleas for the deputies. And there's still sentencing ahead for these multitude of federal counts. So, brother, Mr. Eddie and the we in the Department of Justice have agreed that he will not recount what happened in the house, but he's more than willing to speak to you about how he feels about what happened, okay, the pain and suffering he's endured, how he feels, and his response to the guilty verdicts and all of that. He's willing to talk, but he's not going to go through a fact by fact of what happened, because we're still in the criminal legal proceedings.
I respect that, attorney. Eddie, how do you feel now, and what was your sentiment when you heard that these officers pleaded guilty for the crimes alleged?
Oh, I was ecstatic. You know, I was felt vindicated, you know, for every word, you know, that was said, for the implications on what happened to us and what we went through. I felt, you know, finally, you know, something was coming out of, you know, I'm still kind of in shock, you know. It was a battle yesterday, just thinking about, you know, the, and then the end, you know, coming to an end, you know, for them being charged, you know, and then, I mean, finally, you know, saying, you know, I mean, yeah, we did this to these guys, you know, I mean, we were wrong, so, I mean, there's nowhere they can hide, you know, no other way, no other time, you know, they can get away from just sitting back and not, you know, saying anything, like, you know, we were just making this up, you know. I felt, I mean, I still don't know the feeling that I feel, but I know justice is being, you know, done.
Michael, let me ask you this question, because when we saw the photo of you in the hospital, when my team and I received the information about what happened prior, and that the officer shot you in the mouth, what was it like after the aftermath of this, the hospital stay, the conversations that needed to happen around why were you placed in this situation?
Okay, let me say, and I want y'all to be patient with him, because he has been shot in the mouth. He has continuing medical injuries. He almost lost his tongue. And he's still been traumatized by this. Yes. I'll go right ahead. Answer the question.
It was difficult. The hardest part, the way they gave my mom. They let me forgive. And then turned around, wouldn't let my parents see me. And he guarded my room 24 hours. And just waking up, seeing them, handcuffed to the bed. Feet, neck, the arms, man, it was terrible. It was terrible. It was bad.
It was real bad. Now, you heard the man tell you, they got him shackled by the feet, They got him handcuffed to the bed. So that means he can't even, if he could, get up and go to the toilet and relieve himself. He couldn't go do a number one. He couldn't go do a number two. He couldn't do anything. So, in my opinion, ladies and gentlemen, this is more torture. So they wasn't through torturing these guys while they were at home. They continue to torture these guys while they're in the hospital. Oh, maybe he had a catheter in him and he may have been able to urinate into a bag. But believe me, I've been in the hospital through surgery. In fact, I just got through telling you about that. And there's nothing dignified about the fact that you can't go to the bathroom. You can't go to the shower, because in my room, I could do that. You know, there's a bathroom in there with a shower in there, so I was able to shower myself. You know, I was able to go in there and freshen up my breath and relieve my bowels and whatnot. But for these guys, they couldn't even do that. How horrible and despicable is that? So you can't, so this is further humiliation and brutality and torture after they had just went through that in their own home.
That even after you're in the hospital, Michael, that you are likely thinking these individuals are going to try to do something else to you. Did that sentiment ever go through your mind?
He said,
of course
he
did.
When I first woke up, you know, my mom was thinking about this. I heard her say, if Michael, you can hear me squeeze my hand, I squeezed her hand. And I was waking up, and I saw her. And she stayed there for about 5 more minutes, and they would tell her the time before to go. And I had just woke up, you know, and right when she was getting ready to get up, and I looked over and seen the same police from the same office sitting there, and she was walking out the room, and I couldn't even say nothing to her. And I couldn't even talk to tell her what was going on.
Were the same officers involved in your, let's say, guardianship or guarding the room, who were also involved in what I say, trying to kill you?
No, sir. Not the same officers, but the same department.
Attorney Chavez, can you clear up the element where two departments are actually involved, from police to the sheriff's department? How did that happen? Where was the call of the genesis of this partnership?
This is called the Rankin County Goon Squad, according to yesterday's plea. This is called the Goon Squad. The brothers and the people in the community know it as the Rankin County Death Squad. There's a Deputy Hartfield from Richland, from the Richland, Mississippi Police Department, who at this time we understand was off duty, but came to join the Rankin County Goon Squad. The other 5 deputies who pled guilty yesterday, again, their names are the shooter, Hunter Elwood, Brett McAlpin, there is Christian Deadman, there's Deputy Updike and Middleton and Hartsfield. Yeah, he joined in from another county and joined the Rankin County Goon Squad, and this was probably the worst decision that he made in his life. They have been getting away with beating black people, white people, and violating the constitutional rights of residents of that county. Elwood took 2 pleas yesterday. He pled to these crimes and another set of crimes for discharging his firearm. You know, he goes in places and just shoots to intimidate. I mean, this sounds like the 30s or the 1800s, but it actually happened. And so Hartsfield busted. But I got to say this is the remarkable news, sir, is that to our knowledge, this is the first time that law enforcement, all of these deputies are under federal custody right now. This is the first time that law enforcement, that white police officers in Mississippi have ever been put behind bars for harming a black person. This is history.
And I believe that because these guys would not been feeling so emboldened if they had of met federal and state crimes earlier in their careers or in their endeavors of just doing whatever it is that they wanted to do. They have never faced any criminal charges before, federal or state charges. So that would make you feel emboldened to do whatever it is you wanted to do because you knew for a fact that you ain't never been held accountable for your discretions. You just, I can do this, man. We ain't never faced no charges, and we probably never will. So we gonna do whatever it is we wanna do. I'm sure that's what happened.
That is likely the reason they felt emboldened to do exactly what they were doing. No accountability.
Right.
None.
Exactly.
There was no precedent for accountability in Mississippi.
Exactly.
Let me ask you something, Eddie. Did you know of the reputation of this particular goon squad as Attorney Sebastian has laid out?
Oh, it was known just as well as the day turns of the night. Yes, it was, I'm not the only one that knew. A lot of people that knew.
You hear that? He said, I know this as well as I know that day turns into night. Everybody in the community knew. This was normal. This is what this young man just said.
Michael, so this was a known dynamic inside of the local community. These individuals coming to your home unannounced. Was there a sentiment? I know you can't get into the details of what happened line by line, step by step, but when they came in, was there an understanding of what was really happening? Or were you all still confused as to who these people were?
I was at first, was confused, who it may be, but once I got a clear shot, or clear, sight of who it was, I kind of knew, the gist of what was about to happen.
I mean, really, I'm speechless.
I'm sure you are.
Let me go to Michael on this. You're a little choked up. I apologize. Michael,
it's an emotional moment. I mean, it's an emotional moment for all of us. I mean,
sure.
I mean, the greatest part is there is a United States Attorney General, head of the Civil Rights Department.
Yeah.
She is a black or African American woman. Her name is Christian Clark.
Yes.
And she takes these things seriously. And this is the first time in a long time as an attorney and an activist that I've seen the U.S. Department of Justice really stepping up and doing its job. And so, some of the tears that we shed are tears of joy because there is some justice in this hour.
And that I agree. Where do you stand, Michael, where do you stand today? I know your mom talked about your road to recovery in a previous interview. What does that road to recovery look like from the violence that these criminals did to you?
Every time I eat, my dog is like my nerves, like a bad burn feeling. It's hard to explain the pain, but it's. If you ever had a toothache, man, I know how bad a toothache can get. This man, you nerve in your jaw. I almost have to go down to the table, put my knock my fork out of my plate, because it hurts so bad, I go down. It's bad.
These brothers, Michael almost lost his tongue. These brothers are going to have a long road, really, of trauma recovery. As Michael's mother said, she said that Michael is He's unable to sleep at night. He's had a host of mental effects, you know, from this that's going to take a significant time to professionally recover from.
They'll never recover from it. These guys are scarred for life. This is what I want to tell you, my listening audience. These guys are scarred for life. They'll never recover from this. If God is willing and these guys live to be in the 80s and 90s or whatever and whatnot, they'll be living this trauma and this torture for the rest of their lives. And I know that that's a hard thing to say, but believe me, for a person who has been brutalized and traumatized by law enforcement racism, yes, I have been, in different states too, because I was a over-the-road truck driver. So I have not only been brutalized in my home state and city, which is Cleveland, Ohio, I've suffered a lot of the same atrocities in other states. But in order to make a living, in order to continue to support my family, I had to deal with these things and accept them for what they were so I could continue to make a living for my family.
And so, you know, but yesterday's guilty pleas takes us further down the road, you know, towards his recovery. But it was a serious, I mean, this is torture. Now you imagine these brothers is handcuffed. You know, once you're handcuffed and these officers are coming in, calling them at other times, and over these 2 hours, you know, as the plea deals pointed out yesterday, they were conducting a mock execution. They think this is funny. I mean, this was tremendously humiliating and embarrassing and unprecedented for law enforcement.
Yeah. But let me tell you something, though. That's when they get you. See, they hoping you don't let them handcuff you. That way, they just get to outright kill you. But if you submit to their request, you know, in other words, you don't argue, you willingly let yourself get handcuffed, you willingly pass over your IDs, and you do all those things or whatever, they don't want that. This is the reason why you get tortured after you have willingly gave yourself over to their authority, which they don't want. They want you to, as to put it in their words, they want you to resist. Because that's one of their favorite words. Stop resisting. Stop this, stop that, when you're not doing any of those things.
And we're hoping that the sentencing, it will help ease some of this trauma. We're hoping that the sentencing will send a message that this type of law enforcement must never ever occur again in America. These type of law enforcement practices, that will go a long way towards the healing. But, you know, they have messed a lot of people up, and they have messed these brothers up also.
Obviously, I feel as if these criminals who are wearing a costume, parading around as law enforcement officers, should never see the light of day. Sentencing obviously will occur soon. Attorney, I have to ask this question. Was there any reason? I know there's no legitimate reason. Was there a reason given for why these officers decided to target Michael and Eddie?
Because Sheriff Brian Bailey allows his officers to target people that they don't like, or, you know, I don't know whether McAlpin, who lived nearby, was asserting his territory. The general theory that I have is that they didn't want any black men in the area. In this area, they didn't want any black men, and they were like a gang asserting their control. and all of them were emboldened by the sheriff. This is not just six rogue officers. This is a sheriff that is, according to our lawsuit, is on the record participating in excessive force activities with his deputies. So this is a pattern of practice. This is a way of doing business. That's one of the reasons why they felt that they could just pick out almost anybody and go after them, because this had been tolerated. This had been promoted. This had never been brought under control by the sheriff and the county. I mean, this is literally a rogue operation from the county to the sheriff's office down to the deputies who entered that home. I mean, obviously they had been doing this many times before. To get to this level and finally get caught, obviously they had done this over and over again. So they didn't know Michael or him, but they decided that they were going to commit these savage acts of torture, sexual assault, waterboarding, and ultimately shooting Michael Jenkins in the mouth. I mean, it sounds shocking, it sounds crazy. People had a hard time believing us, but I mean, today we are vindicated. It is all true. The worst parts about it are even what happened afterwards. It's so lengthy. The way that, you know, we always talk in the black community, but a cop put a gun, a cop planted evidence. They say, he ain't planted no evidence. He didn't plant a gun. Police wouldn't do that. They just think it's a so-called criminal making an excuse. Well, in these guilty pleas, they've admitted to attempting to plant a firearm, and that one of the deputies who pleaded guilty carried with them on duty a drop-down gun. In case they had to drop that gun down, he carried it on duty. and also they stole the video recording that recorded them coming in, that they admitted that they stole the video recording, concealed the evidence. Hunter Elwood went right to the police department, filled out an affidavit, said that Michael Jenkins had a gun and pointed it at him and notarized the statement. Elwood never would have notarized that statement and went right to the police station if he had not had a history of doing that and getting away with it. There's another case that's coming down the pike soon, same county. It's Damian Cameron. The autopsy said that Elwood, the criminal here who just pled guilty, Elwood and another associate of theirs, Luke Stickman, that these deputies who subdued Damian Cameron and he died. Well, the Mississippi State autopsy says of the ranking deputies that Damian Cameron's death was undetermined. Well, what's about to come out, doctor, is that expert forensic pathologists are about to tell you that Damian Cameron did not die from undetermined causes. He died because clearly the autopsy photos show that they put on his neck, like George Floyd, and they compressed his neck so hard that his eyeballs had hemorrhaged and popped out of his skull. It's all about to come out, and it all comes from Rankin County.
Now, let me say this. These guys been getting away with this for years. That's the reason why they torture these Native Black American men or people of any color, because they was just running amok. And they got the people in command in conjunction with them with all of these illegal activities that's going on. If you work for a company and you're second in command or third in command, or you just work for the company and you know that you got the boss on your side, you know you can do certain things and without worry of retaliation from your boss, because your boss is with you. When your boss is telling you, yeah, man, go ahead, do your thing, I got your back in the event that something go down, then you're going to do whatever it is you do because you know that you're covered and that you're not worried about losing your job.
In fact, a lot of the time when the stuff be going on, the boss is with you. Yeah, I'm gonna get me, let me get in on some of this, y'all. You know, not every time, but a lot of the times he's right there. So that's the same thing that's going on right now with these Mississippi law enforcement race soldiers. They're running amok and they're not worried about it because half the time their boss is in there with them. And that's what was going on in this community.
Attorney, your leadership, brother, your advocacy, your fearless advocacy is to be commended. I submit this to you. You may be dealing with serial killers, sir. These may be serial killers.
Not maybe, they are.
Who have coordinated a culture, and that culture has either been A, ordered, or at least significantly permitted and protected.
That means condoned. That's what that means. All right, now here is, in my opinion, ladies and gentlemen, here is the next step. So are you guys going to go back and start checking into each and every one of these officers' arrest record in history, along with their commanding officers? Because that's what needs to happen. Because God knows there's got to be hundreds of these people in prison on trumped up charges. There's probably even hundreds of these people who have been murdered by these law enforcement race soldiers, and their murder was swept under the rug, or evidence was provided that wasn't really there, that acquitted these officers from any further litigation. Trust me when I tell you that. This is nowhere near over, ladies and gentlemen. Nowhere near over. And Dr. Rashard Ritchie in Indisputable, I'm sure he's going to follow up on matters such as these right here. Because now that we know what was going on, and we know that your superiors was also involved, we can't trust any person that was arrested or murdered, or in their case, you know, killed while trying to get them in custody, has any validity.
I want to do this in our closing. Eddie and Michael, I would like you both to just tell us what you think a solution is as it relates to this kind of misconduct. What should be done? You had this experience, you're still having the experience, but what would you like to say to those who are watching this interview? And Eddie, I'll go to you first for that question.
Well, let me answer that question first. You defund the damn police, the entire department, fire everybody, including the secretary, and start new, and put in law enforcement officers who you believe will uphold the Constitution of the Divided States of America. We can start right there. But go ahead, Eddie, answer that question.
Maximum sentences, you know, that would be the number one thing that'll stop, you know, a lot of people from even thinking about doing this thing. Maximum sentences, I mean, that's what they would do, you know, to anyone else.
So that's right.
I don't look at the cops being, you know, anything special.
And I echo that point, and I would say, because they are officers, they should be held to a higher standard.
Absolutely.
Of accountability, not lower, and not the same, but a higher one. The same to you, Michael. Yeah. Maximum sentences. So we'll call him for that with you. Attorney, thank you. I know you got a lot of work to do. I appreciate all of you gentlemen being on the program today. I know it's not easy to recount any of this stuff. Attorney, keep us updated. Let us know what we can do to be an advocate for justice with you.
Brother, you've been out front with us.
And we have the in, and you have the inside connect with us. We honor you. Thank you for being a pioneer and a stand-up reporter and brother. We thank you.
Sentiment. Thank you. Sentiment. All right. Shared. I appreciate you all.
Well, brothers and sisters, there you have it. I'm going to stay on top of the story, and I'm going to keep digging through the news articles and whatnot, and keep up with the updates, and I'll bring them to you as I get them. Thank you all so much for tuning in to another episode of Chilling with Teddy G. You know what? I love you guys. Loving you guys is my food, and Teddy G is hungry each and every single day of my life. And until God grants me the opportunity to address you guys again, I bid each and every one of you peace, love, and soul.
Brothers, I want to tell you about a website called blackmenzone.com. Now, Black Men's Zone is a site that specifically targets black men. It's a place where black men talk about issues that solely affect them. Now, at Black Men's Zone, the topics will range from news to society, sports, technology, business, food and recipes. You know, some, you know, brothers got to cook too. Gaming, and some of your brothers like doing some of that. Health and fitness, you know, got to get your workout on. Music, movies, and many other topics. Now, there's not many forums around these days for black men, and because black men have to create them. Now, this particular website is more of a forum base, something simple, not social media. You can write what you need to write, say what you need to say, get on, get off pretty quick. But if you're interested, brothers, to at least go there, and I want you to check it out, engage in the topics, go to blackmenzone.com, sign up for an account, and get engaged in the conversation.